going to turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, as we continue this oceanic adventure of setting sail. So I'm going to invite you to turn to Romans 12, 1 to 2. If you've got a Bible or a device with you, otherwise it will be up on the screen for you to follow along. This is Romans 12, 1 through 2. This is, I believe, God's word for us today. Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is God's word for us this morning, and I'm going to direct your attention to the screens. So good. How many of you have seen the movie Moana? How many of you are now going to go see the movie? Oh, wait, you don't have to go anywhere. You can see it in your own house. I rewatched it last night with Krista. Such a good story. I won't ruin it for those of you who haven't seen it. But here's the deal: we were created to sail. You and I were actually designed to be wayfarers, to be sailors. We were designed and built and created to be filled and transformed and empowered by the Spirit of the living God. Last week we launched this Setting Sail series, and to do that, we took a look at Ephesians chapter 5, which tells us that indeed we are to be filled with the Spirit. And we learned that in the original language the Bible was written in Greek and Hebrew, both those languages, that the word for Spirit is the same as the word for wind. So you see, you and I were created to be filled by the Spirit of the living God, to be shaped by the wind, so to speak, and to be propelled forward on the mission for which God has set us to. We were created for this. And though the way may be dangerous, though it may be more dangerous than sticking around the island of Motunui, knew I was going to mess that up, though the way out into the ocean may be more dangerous than staying in the harbor, we were created for the open ocean. We were created for sailing. We were created to be filled and shaped and transformed and empowered by the wind of God. This is why you and I exist. And so, at Christ Pacific, I'm inviting you to join me in setting sail. But where? Where to? Where are we sailing to? Let me tell you a brief story. In the early 19th century, just off the island of Nantucket, which you can see here in reference to Long Island, New York City there, off the shores of the island of Nantucket in the early 19th century, because there was no fancy navigational equipment for sailors then, and because the ocean is often very stormy in this area, and because the ocean is pretty shallow and there's tons of rocks and obstacles in this area, because of all these things, ships used to crash all the time off the shores of Nantucket Island, not very far off the shore. In fact, it became so bad, there were so many shipwrecks surrounding this area around Nantucket, that it became dubbed a graveyard of the Atlantic. That's what they called this area. So the residents of Nantucket, they got tired of seeing people lose their lives so close to shore. These sailors would be less than a mile out from the shores and they would lose their lives. And the residents of Nantucket got tired of seeing this. And so they gathered together and created this volunteer network that at first was known as the Humane Society. It doesn't have anything to do with pets. It was like the original Humane Society. So they gathered together this group of volunteers in order to rescue people who were shipwrecked. And they built little huts along the shoreline of Nantucket Island. They're called huts of refuge. And from these huts, volunteers would sit and watch They would watch the ocean and they would look out for people who were in trouble, people who'd been shipwrecked, people who were adrift, people who were lost at sea. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, people manned these huts of refuge. They did this for no pay. They did this with no recognition. They did it simply because they prized human life and they didn't want to see people go down. They didn't want to see people die. They eventually became known as the Life-Saving Society, and you can, here's a picture of some of them here, and you can read all about these folks at a museum in Nantucket, actually, that's dedicated to them. Now, these folks eventually adopted a motto for themselves, and the motto was, you have to go out. When someone is shipwrecked, you have to go out, but you don't have to come back. Now, obviously, you have to go out. You have to go and at least attempt to rescue people who are drowning at sea. But the reason that they were shipwrecked, the reason that they were drowning at sea was probably because they were in the midst of a giant storm. It was super cloudy. The waters are foggy. The waters were rough. And so you put yourself in the way of danger in order to rescue others. And so thus the saying, you have to go out, but you don't have to come back. Now, you would think that's not a very good recruiting tagline. That doesn't really encourage people to join the Life-Saving Society, but many, many, many people did. Enough people to have folks at these huts of refuge 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, the Life-Saving Society of the 19th century is a great picture of what Jesus had in mind for the church. The mission of God is to rescue the lost, to rescue those who are adrift in the ocean's currents, to look out for and rescue those who are shipwrecked. And God's primary mission strategy, not his only, but his primary mission strategy is through the Life-Saving Society known as the church. That is who we were created to be. And that is why we are setting sail at Christ Pacific. This is why we're headed out of the safety of the harbor and into the open ocean. Because not only were you and I created to be filled with the Spirit of God and shaped and propelled, but we were created to be part of this life-saving society to rescue those who were lost at sea and adrift and abandoned and drowning. This is the mission of God, and it's the mission of Christ Pacific Church. You know, we're not setting off on some kind of pleasure cruise with all-you-can-eat buffets and endless opportunities for entertainment. That's called a cruise ship. This is not what you were created for. You were created to participate in a search and rescue operation, and we're setting sail. So before we dive in further, let's pray. Captain Jesus, thank you that when you are in charge, we are in good hands. We acknowledge that it would actually be safer to remain in the harbor. But would you encourage us this morning not to seek safety, but to seek authenticity and to seek life, real life, flourishing life, the kind of life that we were created for. Would you teach us, God? Would you teach us this morning? Each one of us, meet us in our minds and in our hearts. Speak a word that is intelligible to each one here this morning. A word that encourages and convicts and calls. Thank you, Jesus, that your word in Romans 12 is living and active. So come alive in us, we pray in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. Amen. So we're in the midst of this series, Setting Sail, and last week we took a look at the wind, okay? You don't get anywhere sailing without wind. That is clear enough, and wind and spirit is the same word, so that's the play that we're using on words for this series, that we are empowered by the wind of God, and today we're looking at our alignment with the wind of God. A sailor's way to say this is we're trimming our sails. We're adjusting our sails to align ourselves in the best possible way so that we can catch the wind, so that the wind can give us shape and propel us forward. And then next week, we're going to take a look at the crew. You know, it takes a whole crew to sail a boat. And then the week after that, we're going to dive farther into where are we going? What is the mission exactly? Why are we leaving the harbor? So today, alignment, or trimming the sails. We are aligning our sails so that the wind can give us shape and also propulsion. Again, this is trimming the sails if you are a sailor. Those of you who are like real sailors, you will know that I am not a sailor, probably by some of the mistakes I make with some of this terminology, but it's just an analogy, right? So go with me. I'm learning a bunch of these terms and looking forward to going sailing with some of you on May 11th and 18th. More on that in a minute. So the Apostle Paul begins Romans 12 with these words. He says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God. This is how he begins his argument. I appeal to you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God. And I bolded the word therefore there because anytime you see the word therefore, you have to ask what it's there for. It's a very significant word, and what we know from this word is that everything Paul's about to say, the Apostle Paul, everything that he's about to write here in Romans 12 is all in response to the good news of Jesus Christ that he's told us about in Romans chapter 1, chapters 1 through 11. All right, so what he's about to tell us is in response to the good news. He's saying, therefore, in light of all of that good news, in light of the fact that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, in light of the fact that though we were sinners, yet Christ died for us, in light of the fact that Jesus gave everything on the cross for us before we lifted a finger to do anything, in light of the free gift of the gospel, in light of that, therefore, he's going to call us and invite us to respond. So all of the Christian life, all of our sailing, if you will, is a response. This is so important. We've got to start here. Everything we do is a response to what God has already done in Jesus Christ. So in terms of setting sail on this search and rescue operation, we are out to rescue people because we know what it's like to be rescued. Because we have been rescued from the darkness. Because we were drowning in the ocean and Jesus Christ grabbed us and rescued us. Maybe he used someone significant in your life to throw you a life ring and we know what it's like to be rescued. We know what it's like to have been drowning and now we've been invited onto the life raft, onto the sailboat. And in light of that, we now have joined this search and rescue operation. We've become sailors. It's all a response. So Paul goes on. He says, therefore, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Present yourselves, offer yourselves, give yourselves, put yourselves at God's disposal. This is what the Apostle Paul is inviting us to do. He's saying, hoist your sails. To hoist a sail is to present a sail to the wind. Present your sail to the wind. And when you do, the wind actually gives shape to your sail. Sails aren't flat. That's why the sails above my head are wrinkled, because there's no wind in them, so they don't have their full shape. When we present our sails to the wind, when we hoist our sails, the wind gives our sails shape and also propels us forward. So the wind gives our sails shape. The wind gives our character shape. The Spirit of God shapes our character, right? The Spirit of God also propels us forward, gives us power. So not only does the wind shape our sail, but it actually gives us power. And this is what the Apostle Paul is inviting us into. Hoist your sail, present yourselves. Present yourselves to the living God, to the Holy Spirit, and he will shape your character and empower you for mission. So what do we actually present? You know, this is kind of odd in a way. Paul says, present your bodies. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now you might think, that's sort of odd. Like if I were writing Romans 12, I would have chosen a different word. Like present your hearts and minds. Or present your souls. But he says, no, present your bodies. You know, it's impossible to be a human being outside of a body. There is no such thing as humanity or human existence outside of a body. When God created us in his image, he gave us bodies. And Paul is writing here to the church in Rome, in the city of Rome, and Rome was super influenced by Greek culture during this time. And for the Greeks, there was often this really high view of like mind and soul and spirit, this sort of high view of the spiritual realm of things, if you will, but also a really low view of the physical universe and a low view of bodies. And so Paul is saying, look, you got to present your whole self to the Lord, even your bodies, heart, mind, soul, body. Present your whole self to the Lord, and he will shape your whole self. He will empower your whole self. And when we present our whole selves to the Lord, the Spirit shapes both our character and also our mission. The Spirit shapes our character and empowers us for mission. He goes on. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. I love this verse. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Now, conformity to the world, to the patterns of the world, is the discipleship equivalent of drifting. Drifting. Drifters are carried away with the ocean's current. They go wherever the ocean takes them. Drifters are conformed to the current's will and way, which is super different from sailors. Sailors set their sails and determine the way that they will go, empowered by the wind. Do not be conformed to this world, the Apostle Paul writes. In other words, don't be a drifter. Don't just drift along, but rather be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word transformed is this great Greek word metamorphosis, metamorpheo. And of course, you all know that because butterflies, metamorphosize, that's a made-up word. But this idea that you're actually changed, transformed from one thing to something very, very different. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. One thing that stands out to me about this verse and this verb transformed is it's actually a passive verb. It says be transformed. That's different from transform yourselves, right? Be transformed. In other words, allow the Spirit of God to transform you. Allow the Spirit to blow in your sails and give your character shape. A sail cannot shape itself. Again, I've already pointed out these sails. They sort of have shape, but not really, because a sail can't give itself shape. It requires wind in order to really be shaped. So what are we to do? What's our part in this being transformed business? Do we just sit back and relax and wait for the wind to blow? Well, no. Of course we do not. We don't just sit back and relax and wait for the wind to blow. We're invited to intentionally pursue our own transformation. We can't transform ourselves any more than a sail can blow itself forward. We are completely dependent upon the work of the Spirit to transform us, to metamorpheo us. And yet, we can intentionally participate. And we do that through spiritual disciplines. What is a spiritual discipline? This is the best definition I've ever read. This is Henry Nouwen. Spiritual discipline is simply the effort to create some space in our lives in which God can act. The effort to create some space in our lives in which God can act. So I think spiritual disciplines are the discipleship equivalent of hoisting our sails. Right? That's our effort to put ourselves at God's disposal, to create some space in which God can actually act and move. They are intentional. They are active. They involve decisions on our part. Here's a good analogy for this. Our campus renewal is an effort to create physical space on our campus in which a vibrant community of faith, hope, and love can be cultivated. right? Renewing our campus doesn't, in and of itself, create a vibrant community. We could have the coolest, slickest, most beautiful campus on earth, and that in and of itself does not actually create community. It doesn't actually create a community of people filled with faith, hope, and love, but it does create space in which that is more likely to happen. Some of you are gardeners. You understand this. A gardener cannot make a tomato grow. Some of you have experienced this personally. You cannot make a tomato grow, but you can water the soil, you can pull the weeds, you can prune the plant, and you do all of these things because you're making it more likely for tomatoes to actually grow. So you can't make a tomato grow, but there's a whole lot of intentional activity that you can do that makes it more likely for a tomato to grow. We can renew our campus, and the campus renewal itself doesn't create a vibrant community, but it sure makes a vibrant community more likely to happen. It's like removing barriers that might prevent the community from growing in vibrancy and in faith and in hope and in love. Do you see what I mean? In the same way, spiritual disciplines create space in which God can shape our character and empower us for mission. There are tons of spiritual disciplines that can help us do that. And I'm just going to highlight three of them, three spiritual disciplines that are the three sails I'm inviting you to hoist so that the wind of God can shape our character and empower us for mission. These three sails are the three sails that I will be highlighting over and over and over again. I'm inviting you to hoist the prayer sail, the serving sail, and the generosity sail. These are three spiritual disciplines that we can intentionally pursue in order to create space for God to act in and through us. So hoisting the prayer sail, will you pray earnestly for the Lord to do exceedingly abundantly, far more than we could ever ask or imagine by His power that is at work within us? Would you pray that God would do exceedingly abundantly, far more than we are even asking or imagining? How? By His power that's at work within us. Would you pray with me? And the serving sail, will you invest your time and talent at Christ Pacific Church in one area of ministry, giving and exercising the gifts that God has given you, exercising the talents and skills that God has given you, giving the time that God has given you? Will you invest in Christ Pacific Church with your time and with your talents through serving? Service is a spiritual discipline. Will you hoist that sail with me? And then finally, the generosity sail. Generosity is also a spiritual discipline. You see how all three of these things require intentionality, right? Prayer doesn't just happen. You have to choose to pray. Right? Serving doesn't just happen. You have to choose to serve. Generosity doesn't just happen. You have to choose to be generous. You have to take intentional action, intentional steps to create space in which God can act. So will you invest your financial resources in the ministry and mission of Christ Pacific Church by giving sacrificially and generously? That is the generosity sail. After many, many years of the Humane Society or the Life-Saving Society, after many years of rescuing people who had been lost at sea and who were drowning, eventually the Coast Guard became a thing. And for a number of years, the Coast Guard and the Life-Saving Society worked together. They partnered together in order to save people's lives. But after a number of years, the Coast Guard expanded, and the Life-Saving Society, the members began to say, you know what, let's let the Coast Guard do this. Let's let the professionals do this. They are paid to do this. They have better gear. They're professionals. So let's let them be in the life-saving business. And slowly but surely, the people, the members of the Life-Saving Society stopped actually manning the huts of refuge. They stopped peering out into the ocean 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. They no longer were in the life-saving business. But they didn't disband the Life-Saving Society. In fact, it still exists today. They didn't disband. They still continued to get together. They continued to have events and enjoy one another's company, and they continued to give out awards and prizes. They even continued to do acts of community service together, but they just weren't in the life-saving business anymore. They were no longer saying their motto to one another, "You have to go out, but you don't have to come back." They no longer knew the thrill and excitement of doing what they were created to do, of actually rescuing people who are drowning at sea. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't even happen in a month or two. It usually takes years to happen. But after a while, a church loses a sense of its mission. And it still has buildings, and it still has budgets, and it still has staff members, and it still has programs, and it even gets together to do acts of community service every once in a while. But it's just not in the life-saving business anymore. That's the story of so many churches. That's the story of a church that is stuck in the harbor, a story of a church that has lost sight of why it exists. That's the story, going back to Moana, that's the story of Moana's people who were too afraid to go beyond the reef and sail the open ocean, and so they decided to stay put. But they were dying, slowly but surely, until finally they set sail. That's not going to be our story at Christ Pacific Church. Because we're not going to stay in the harbor. We're not going to stay on the island. We're going to set sail. We're going to hoist our sails. We're going to present ourselves to the Spirit of the living God. And we're going to pray that God would do exceedingly abundantly, far more than we could ever ask or even imagine, by his wind that is blowing in us and giving our character shape and propelling us forward on mission. So would you with me hoist that prayer sail and hoist that serving sail and hoist that generosity sail? Let's trim our sails. Let's position ourselves in the best possible way for the Spirit of the living God to act and move and have his way. Let's set sail together, shall we? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for your generosity to us. Thank you that you've invited us on board, that you rescued us from darkness. You transferred us to the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Thank you that you've welcomed us aboard, that you've taught us to sail. Would you continue to teach us to sail, to trim our sails so that you would shape us, transform us, renew us, equip us, and empower us for mission. Jesus, as we turn to the communion table, we acknowledge that you are our very nourishment. You are the energy that flows within our veins. You are the one who powers us, empowers us, equips us. And so as we turn to the communion table, we eat and we drink, acknowledging that we need you. Oh, how we need you even more than we need our next meal. We need you more than we need bread and water. So feed us, nourish us, prepare us for the voyage ahead. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus. God's people said, amen. Amen.